Whew. This weekend was quite eventful in the world of video games. Hi, my name is Zachary Wolf, and this is the ZWN. We're going to talk E3 and what we know and what we can anticipate. Let's get right into it. So, from Microsoft, they revealed a couple things. They're going to go with, right now, we're going to talk Halo Infinite. First impressions, I think this game is going to be amazing. I think it's going to be beautiful. I, for one, love the Halo franchise. I have amazing amounts of fun playing Halo, and I don't see why this is going to be any different. It's powered by the Slipspace engine, which is probably why it looks so good. I've heard about these guys, and I think Halo's in good hands with this. Possible game modes? I know there's going to be a campaign, obviously, because you can't have that good of like a visual. And then just not follow through with the deep and powerful campaign, which Halo is known for. Features, I don't really see many two features growing up. It seems, I mean, because it's gonna be based. I know Master Chief was in the trailer, so maybe we'll get back to our traditional Halo gameplay instead of the jetpacks and armor lockup stuff of Halo Reach. I think we're gonna be able to get back into just standard Halo gameplay. Will I play it? Of course I'm going to play it. I really want to play it, but I have to get my hands on the Xbox One first. So Halo Infinite is looking good. I'm gonna enjoy it. I know my friends will. I hope you will. I just really, this will be a good breath of fresh air when it comes to the Halo franchise, because a lot of people have love-hate relationship with Halo nowadays, but I think this will be the one that just puts Halo back on the map. Not to say that it was never knocked off, but most people will lean towards Call of Duty just because the gameplay is a lot more realistic. But I think Halo Infinite is gonna look pretty nice. Halo Infinite is gonna look pretty good. I can't wait to see the whole host of new characters that we get. Just some story. Hopefully we get some new weapons, because I like new weapons in Halo. So, all right. We're going to move on to Devil May Cry 5. That trailer right there really caught me off guard. I did not expect Devil May Cry 5, mostly because I don't really keep up with the series. Although I do like the idea of the series, I've yet to play a game yet. So, I do know that this character that they showcase in the trailer is Nero. I noticed when his arm was mechanic instead of the demon arm that he had in Devil May Cry 4. So he looks pretty good. He's looking kind of nice. Mechanics, I think it'll be the similar gameplay that Devil May Cry is known for, so nothing really too much will change on that. Of course, they'll tighten it up, probably add a couple new things. First impressions, I enjoyed it. I actually want to get out and play this game because it looks fun. It looks fast-paced, nice action, good graphics, nice dialogue. Like the dialogue's is looking like that comedic action perfect blend that I love so much when it comes to video games. I will play it. I will play it actually, because this will be a good Devil May Cry game to start off with, in my opinion, because it looks great. I do own Devil May Cry 4, but I have yet to play it, so I might play that first before this one comes out. And I did not catch a release date on that, but I do think it's 2018 or early 2019. So, yeah. Is Dante in it? Dante was revealed at the end of the trailer. That was Dante. He looked a little older. He was a little older, but that's gonna happen to you with time. So yeah, I think that's gonna be pretty good. Also, in the news, I'm gonna go ahead and get straight to Just Cause 4. It was a great trailer, a decent 2 minute straight to the point trailer. First thoughts, it looks like it's gonna have a deeper story and not just the mayhem that we're accustomed to when it comes to Just Cause. So I feel like it'll be more story and rooted, and I'm actually not mad about that, because when I play Just Cause 2, I have a hard time pinpointing where I should go to progress in the game instead of just causing the most mayhem. This looks like it's gonna have a deeply enrooted story, and then afterwards you can just go back to playing Just Cause. Just cause. It does look good. It does look good. Will I play it? Of course I will. I will. I love the Just Cause series. It is a lot of fun. It is a great time killer. And even then, for a time killer, it's such a good game. It has so much hours that you can just put into it. I can play Just Cause for like 2 hours straight. I really can. Because there's so much exploring to do. There's so much mayhem to cause. There's so much weapons and vehicles to unlock. It is so much fun. And I do not see why this will be any different. You can pre-order Just Cause for now for PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. So go ahead and drop that. Also, we're gonna go ahead and get right into Gears of War 5. I do think that this is gonna be a cool game because I love the Gears series. First thoughts, it looks amazing. Like these look like actors, as in like the game looks so realistic. But as you get further in the series, you're gonna find ways to make it seem better. And I gotta say, visually, this game looks amazing. Gameplay, I do not think it'll change too much because it's Gears of War. You don't wanna overdo it and make it feel like a totally different game. You wanna add little things that make the gameplay different, but also not too different to where it feels like a different game. I will play it because, once again, like I said, it's Gears of War. I love Gears of War, but I probably will still lean towards multiplayer like I do with most of these games. Some of these games I don't really tend to play the campaign on, but this game I will have to because it looks kind of nice. Looks like some deep story. Like this one, well, I'm not going to spoil too much for it if you haven't seen the trailer. I definitely recommend go watching the trailers of all these games so you can have a better, appreciation for the analysis that I'm putting in. So it looks like it's going to have a really deep story. Carmine, will he die? Who knows? Who knows will he die? I don't even know if they're gonna introduce a new Carmine, because I don't think the one from Gears of War 3 died. I don't think the one from Gears of War 4 died. I could be wrong. I haven't played Gears 4. But yeah, the graphics are beautiful. Gameplay is gonna be looking smooth, and I don't see why I wouldn't play this. All right, now we're gonna get into Shonen Jump Force. Or I'm gonna call it Super J-Stars. This is J-Stars on all kinds of drugs right now. These graphics are amazing. Like, I mean, they are so beautiful. And like, it's gonna have all these Shonen Jump characters in a brawler. And well, that was J-Stars, but this one, for some reason, I feel like this is gonna be way more enjoyable. I think the gameplay is tightened up. The character models are really spruced up. They're really nice, sensational graphics. I don't know. It was Microsoft revealed this, but that makes me think that Sony, did they just not think of making a new Shonen Jump game? Because I know they had their hands in J-Stars, because J-Stars was PS4 exclusive, am I wrong? Or was it PS3 and PS4? All I know is that it wasn't Microsoft. If Microsoft found a way to get Shonen Jump a brawler and make it exclusive, that's a huge W for them. That's a huge W for them. So just to recap with Microsoft, Halo Infinite is gonna be good. It's gonna be nice in my opinion. Devil May Cry 5 looks like it's Nero. It does look like Nero. So yeah, it's gonna be a fun game. If you want to play Devil May Cry 5, I do recommend it. It does look nice. Just Cause 4, that's gonna be a thing. That's gonna be nice. Gonna be nice. Gears 5 also looks pretty good. And Shonen Jump Force. Now, Microsoft dropped they revealed a whole bunch of the other games, but those are games I have no interest in playing because I haven't played the previous games. So I didn't really get into those because I wouldn't have much to say. But these, I can really get into. So we're gonna go ahead and take a quick break. We're coming in at the 9:30 mark, 9 minute 30 second mark, and once we get back, we're gonna dive into what Nintendo had to put out, and we will see. All right, stay tuned. All right, welcome back to the ZWN. I'm your host, Zachary Wolf, and now we'll be jumping in to the Nintendo part of E3. And this, oh my, this is something you're gonna want to hear. All right, so first off, we got the new Fire Emblem game, Fire Emblem Three Houses. Okay, now this trailer gave me a lot of mixed feelings. Good in the fact that, like, the story looks like it's going to be something serious. And I like that. The main character has a pretty good design. However, within the trailer, I didn't really understand what the changes to the actual gameplay would be. Now, the overworld models are no longer just the 2D and then 3D when you battle. It's 3D all around. I also didn't really pick up on any of the names. Like, there was no names of characters shown. But visually, it looks like a good game. The models actually have feet this time and not those little horse hooves that you see in Fire Emblem Awakening and Fire Emblem Fates. Playstyles? I don't really see any different playstyles. I think it'll still have the basic weapon triangle. You know, swords beat axe, axe beat lance, lance beat sword. Maybe they'll add some new weapons. You know, maybe this will be a Fire Emblem that is no longer just a dating sim, because it looks a little serious. The music, though, that I heard in it, it was on point. I like the music. I actually did like the music, so that's a good part of any game, is the soundtrack. It's the music you hear while you're playing. If the music sucks, you're not going to be motivated to play. But this will not be a problem. It does look like it'll actually fare some sort of challenge, as opposed to just the walk in the park that... My bad, guys. That Awakening and Fates posed. Will I play it? Only time will tell. Chances are I will. Alright. Next on the Nintendo news, we have Fortnite is on Switch. Will I play it? That depends on what console I get first. Because I do want to play Fortnite. I really, really do. For a free game, it poses a lot of fun. So, I also want to see what it being on Switch will cause to change. Most likely, it'll be nothing much. However, you know, with a new console, something has to be bound to change. Will I play it on Switch, though? Like I said, that depends on what console that I get first, and that's what console I'll play Fortnite on. Chances are, it'll either end up being Switch or Xbox. Mostly Switch, because of the portability. Because I could, like, bring it to a cafe and just play Fortnite wherever, as opposed to only playing Fortnite at home. But hell, I could get both. Like, have one at home, and then when I'm on the go, someone will say, hey, hop on Fortnite. Hey, boom, pull out the Switch. First thoughts, I'm actually shocked that they didn't do this sooner. I'm surprised that Fortnite didn't make it on the Switch when it made it on the other consoles, because Switch is their primary home console now. So I thought with all newer games, they'd at least try to get them on the Switch. But better late than never. Like I said, the perks of it being on the Switch is the portability. You can play Fortnite wherever there's an internet connection, and you're not limited to your home. This is something new for Nintendo. I did not think they'd hop on the Fortnite wave, but it's not a shame that they did. It's actually quite nice. And Fortnite is available now for download in the eShop if you are interested. So before you live listening to this, or if you have a Switch, because you have a Switch, you can download it as I'm speaking right now. Okay. We're going to move on to Splatoon 2, Octo Expansion. Well, we're going to talk about Splatoon 2 first. At E3, they had the Splatoon 2 World Championships versus, it was the GG Boys and the Back Squids. Back Squids hailing from Europe and the GG Boys hailing from Japan. It was very high-octane gameplay. I did not think Splatoon could get that competitive, and that's what made me want to play this game. However, the GG Boys from Japan did end up taking the W, and it was a good game nonetheless. The Back Squids have nothing to be ashamed about. It was a very good match. A lot of action from both sides, a lot of strategizing, a lot of just synergy. It was nice. The Octo Expansion Pack yesterday. It was released to be available for download today. So go check that out if you're interested in the Octo Expansion Splatoon 2 pack. New weapons? I don't know. I saw an image of one of the Inklings holding a minigun of sorts. That could be nice. Now, we're going to get into something a little serious. Something we've all been waiting for if you are an avid Nintendo fan. Something you have been waiting for since we saw that direct. Super Smash Brothers for the Nintendo Switch. First of all, first things first, I want to give a huge shout out to my boy Sakurai because he came through with this. First of all, the title, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Oh my god, it's so simple, yet it just commands power. I love it. The mechanics, oh my. Where do I start? Single player damage is higher when you're playing. Well, I'm so excited. I'm sorry. The damage you do is higher when you're playing one-on-one matches as opposed to a four-player battle royale. That is to make one-on-one games more cinematic, serious, quick to the pace, and a little quicker. There are no more transformation final smashes. Everybody's final smash is now quick and to the point, so you can get right back to the action. They have a new mechanic called, I don't think it's new, I think this was Melee, the directional air dodge, where you can air dodge into a direction to really just avoid all kinds of damage instead of just hitting the dodge button once and then they can still follow up. They fixed a lot of moves. They gave Ganondorf a lot of, did I spoil who's in the game? Anyways, we're gonna get to, well, I already said it, so let me just talk about some of the characters they fixed. I'm only gonna say the ones that you should know are in this game to avoid as many spoilers as possible. Ganondorf now has use of his sword with all of his smash attacks. I don't think for down smash though, because I think the down smash is still the kicks. But for forward smash and up smash, I do believe that his sword is used. Shulk's Monado arts are no longer a rapid or repeated press of the button. You hold the B button and choose a direction, and like all the Monados are in a certain direction, and you flick the analog stick towards that Monado art to become that one, and then you can switch. It's so quick to switch. And then you can use that for all kinds of setups. Another mechanic is when you take a hit that could kill you, the screen will zoom in and it'll look really cinematic and you might get knocked off the stage. Characters such as Cloud and Robin, who have a limit or have a gauge of sorts, will now show up at near their percentage screen. Charge's limit will always be displayed near his percentage, and the amount of uses that Robin has left on the Tomes and Levin Sword will also appear next to his percentage. You can now see what item you are pocketing when you're a villager, because that will also be next to villager's percentage. Oh my. Next, we're going to talk about the fact that Marth is in the game. He made it back. The Hero King is back. And he is fully voiced in English. I've been waiting on this ever since I heard Yuri Lowenthal in the mobile game Fire Emblem Heroes. I was like, yo, he portrays Marth so good. And I was hoping that he'd be in this game. However, they did not say anything about Cloud and Roy being voiced in English. But we will see. Only time will tell. Now, if you don't know, the only reason you wouldn't know this is because you didn't watch E3 or you don't have a Twitter account. But when I tell you everybody is in this game, I mean everybody. Everybody you wish, you can no longer say, I wish they brought back blank, because they are here. I'm talking Pichu is here. I'm talking Young Link, Wolf, Snake. Everybody is back. Ice Climbers are back. It is such a, I was so happy. Anybody will tell you that I screamed so hard. I almost lost my voice when I saw Wolf hit that floor. My boy is back after 10 long years. Let's get it. Snake, it has been too long, my boy. You are back. Ice Climbers, you only weren't in Smash 4 because of the 3DS. Now, that's no longer holding you back. Bro, we are here. We are here, and we are doing this, bro. Now, that's enough for the returning characters. Every character that was in the Smash Bros. Is here. So, boom. That's enough for returning characters. Now, let's get into some of these new characters. We got Inkling Boy and Inkling Girl. Their movesets look crazy, and I actually would like to pick them up. And they actually have ink. Their ink can run out, and that's really cool because you really have to think about how much ink you're using and when to refill. And I think that's another part of the game that'll make it more challenging and strategic. Also, due to popular demand, the boy, the menacing, the destructive, the bane to Samus' existence, Ridley, has finally showed his face in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And I don't care what anybody says, his power is not diminished because his size is. That man has a lot of power. I recommend watching the Smash Invitational, just so you can see what I'm talking about when it comes to Ridley. Oh my my. And they created a new term for clone fighters. They're now called Echo Fighters. They have Lucina will be an Echo of Marth. Dark Pit will be an Echo of Pit. However, Dr. Mario will not be an Echo of Mario because their movesets are actually really, they're more different than the others. Now, with the introduction of this new term, they also introduced a new Echo Fighter. And it was my girl. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Young, flower-smelling self, Daisy. Princess Daisy has made her debut on the Smash roster. It could never be too soon. I'm actually glad this happened. I was so ecstatic. They're bringing all the stages back. At least I think they are. They're bringing all the stages from the 3DS and Wii U. I know that. They brought back Saffron City from the 64. Or is that from Melee? I think it's from Melee. Yeah, they brought back Saffron City. And I was like, yeah, let's get it. I was so happy. And hold on. I had to take a drink. I was talking too fast. I was running out of breath. But anyway, I swear, the movesets look polished up. They got new animations. For all you Corrin mans out there, that dragon lunge, that side B, it got nerfed. Yeah. Uh-huh. Get checked. However, all you Bayonetta mains out there, she's still pretty busted. So, yeah, have fun. However, now that I got my boy Wolf, I'm finna slay all the Bayonettas. I'm slaying all the Corrins. Watch out. They also revealed that the GameCube controller will be making a return to the Switch for all those Melee players out there. And actually, I'm going to start using a GameCube controller for this game specifically. I just feel like it'll feel good. So, we got the title, Smash Bros. Ultimate. These mechanics are looking nice. The boy Marth is in English. Everybody is in this game. Ridley's in the game. Daisy's in the game. Now we're going to talk about the Smash Invitational. Overall, it was full of good matches. We had a lot of huge names. We had Lucky, Mango, Armada, Abadango, MKLeo. We had Zero, Plup. I promise you, it was so many good names. And I can't think of his name. And it's so bad because I loved him the most. Well, I apologize. You guys probably know who I'm talking about. But yeah, it was such a good tournament. We had a couple of guests. We had WWE superstar Ember Moon, Olivia Holt, Mike Daniels, and Nairo. The boy Nairo did not get invited to the invitation. Well, he got invited, but I'm mad that he didn't compete in the actual invitational, because I would have loved to see Nairo versus Leo, Nairo versus That would have loved to have seen Nairo versus Zero and Nao versus Mango. That would have been nice. That would have been nice. But Nairo was a guest, and he took out Ember Moon, Olivia Holt, and Mike Daniels by himself using Snake. He showcased Snake, and I was really happy that he pulled Snake off pretty good. In the midst of all these events, the homie Zero ended up taking the W, although it was not easy. MKLeo did put the pressure on that man, and MKLeo is the symbol for all of us new generation of Smash players. He represented us well, and shout out to you, MK. What else is there to talk about? Actually, I think that's all I have for today. Yeah, that is all I have for today. Wow, we got through that pretty quick. Well, now we just got to see what Sony's about to do, because E3 is not done, my child. It is not done. So, I'm gonna leave you all with that. Follow my Twitter; it is in my profile for updates on podcasts and anything else. And I will see you guys in the next one. Goodbye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.